The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Can we celebrate the expression this morning? Wonderful rendition this morning. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you ready this morning? They say we should wear something. Where is that my cap? Bring my cap. If you know where I am, I thought I won't show you. Merry Christmas. But come on, look to your neighbor. Just say Merry Christmas to the person in advance. Hallelujah. Praise God. Know what I'm going to wear later, though. For now, let me preach. So the revelation doesn't cover the revelation. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands. Let's give him praise this morning. Lift your hands and thank him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we bless your name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just bless him. Pray in the Holy Ghost and bless him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, yes. Oh, what a love you have lavished on me, a mortal, to be called yours, to share your image divine. Thank you, Lord Jesus. What an honor
to be ordained and anointed. Man and your scepter, dancing the rhythm of your heart.
One more time, say, Father, Father, sing,
Father.
Oh, what a love!
Oh, what a love you have lavished
on me, a mortal.
To share your image divine.
Come on. What an honor, such an honor.
What an honor.
Come on.
To be a day that anointed.
To be your man.
To be your man and your scepter. Dancing the rhythm of
one more time. Everybody say, Father, Father, oh, Father.
Woo! Oh, what a love you have lavished.
Yeah.
On me, a mortal, to be called yours.
To share your image.
To share your image divine.
Say, what an honor, what an honor, what an honor.
To be a man and your scepter, dancing the rhythm of your heart.
And we are not alone. God is with us.
Emmanuel, Emmanuel.
When we pray,
when we pray, He answers us.
Yeah.
When we we are not alone. God is with us.
Come on.
Emmanuel, Emmanuel.
So when we pray,
when we pray, He answers us.
When we call,
when we call, He answers us.
We are not not alone. Higher, God is with us. Emmanuel, Emmanuel. Say when we pray. When we call, I'm not alone. I am God is with us. Emmanuel. Say when we pray. When we call, we are not alone. God is with us. Emmanuel, aya, come on. Say when we pray. Say when we call. Aya, we are not alone. God is with us. Emmanuel. Two more times now. Say when we pray. When we call, we are not alone. Higher, God is with us. Emmanuel. Say when we pray. When we call, I'm not alone. Let me hear your own voice. When we pray, come on. Shout it like you know it. Come on. Ah, God is with. Are you sure about that? One last time now. Just your voice now. Say when we pray. We are not alone. God is with us. Emmanuel. Two more times, everybody now. Say when we pray.
When we pray, he answers us. When we call, he has a cry. We are not alone. God is with us. Emmanuel.
Aya. Say when we pray.
When we pray, he answers us.
When we call,
when we call, he answers us.
We are not
alone.
God is with us.
God is with us.
Aya.
Emmanuel, Emmanuel.
Say we are not alone. We are not alone. God is with us. Emmanuel. Say we are not alone.
We are not alone. God is with us. Emmanuel. Emmanuel.
Say we are not alone.
Not alone.
Ah.
God is with us. Emmanuel. Emmanuel.
Say we are not alone. Say we are not alone. God is with us. Emmanuel. Emmanuel. How many of you believe that this morning? Say God is with us. Yeah, that's one of the most beautiful realities of Christmas. That God is with us. He's with us. But then much more, he's also in us. Not just with us, but he now lives in us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This year is ending powerfully. And the next year is starting powerfully too. Today is 21st. The Lord spoke to us that the last 10 days of this year will be marked for big miracles. And that the first 10 days of next year will be marked for big miracles. So we are in the 20 days of big miracles. And you just got to come with your faith. You know, one of the toughest times to believe God is when the year is coming to an end. That's one of the toughest times. But I believe for big miracles. Big miracles. Many of you, big, mighty deliverances. You know, there is somebody under the sound of my voice this morning. A miracle that is going to happen, and I saw that in the spirit. Something everybody has believed wrongly about you. And everybody has believed it. Something will happen in the next 20 days that will uncover the case. And it will become clear to you. You will see how it's going to play out. Something everyone has believed about you, you've tried to explain, but you've been misunderstood. But then the Lord says in the next 20 days, something is going to happen. Angels will get to work. And they will uncover the case. You will see how it's going to happen. I will rejoice with you. There will be financial supplies. There will be deliverances. If you are traveling this period, let there be no fear. The Lord will preserve you. And where there's already trouble, the Lord will deliver you. Are you following me now? Let there be no fear. Let there be no fear. The Lord will give us miracles. Miracles of supplies. You know, God said, I should tell somebody, you will not end the year jobless. Yeah, I heard that from the Lord. I just said it the way I heard it. You won't end the year jobless. The next year will start strong. Very strong. Very strong. Very strong. Some of you that are coming in contact with our church and with this anointing newly, you will see what God is going to do. You don't really have to believe it. You just have to hear it. But in 20 days time, between now and the next 20 days, by the word of God that has never failed, you are coming back with a testimony. Some of you, God will intervene in your family. I saw a sickness in a family that they've been trying to cure for a very long time. It will vanish suddenly in the next 20 days. So just vanish. To just vanish. I heard the Lord say, you will escape. What has been done against you, you will escape it. Just like that. Next Sunday is going to be a miracle service. Remember that? And we're going to enjoy it. Because we are not alone. When we pray,
He answers us.
Ah, yeah.
When we call, He answers us. We are not alone. God is with us. Emmanuel.
Ah, yeah.
Emmanuel.
Say when we pray. With me, Emmanuel, Emmanuel. Can we shout a loud amen this morning? Shout amen like we are having Christmas service now. Hallelujah. Did you come with a gift for someone? Did you? Let me see if you came with a gift for someone. Because we also did. You came with a gift for someone. Okay, now if you didn't come with any gift for someone, you, after service, you rush out and buy it. Because you have to give to somebody today. That's what Christmas is about, Abi. But all of us shouted, yes, sir. Let me see your hand. Did you come to give someone? Raise your hand. I'll start asking you, what did you come to? Hallelujah. You know, I taught you last Sunday, normalize gifting people around, even generally. But then around Christmas seasons, even if you don't have a special day for it in church, normalize. As you are making your Christmas plans, don't just plan for the chicken you will eat and turkey and the rest of them. Just plan for somebody that are going to give something. You know, one of the things that will happen to you, that I'm trusting God will happen to you, is that God will bring you out from that poverty mentality. That's mentality that always wants to receive. Let me tell you how you know you have a poverty mentality. If you're always praying for destiny helpers, but you are not believing God to be a destiny helper to someone. You are poor in your mind. You hear what I said? You are poor in your mind. For instance, if you are always believing that somebody will gift you, Christmas is coming, say, God, let somebody just remember me. And you don't want to remember one person. At least remember somebody. Are you following me now? You know the thing about it is, you cannot be the poorest person on earth. No matter how poor you are, somebody is poorer than you. That's one good news. You should be happy. You can't carry last. So at least there must be somebody you can actually give something. That's the point I'm trying to make. And it doesn't have to be big. How much is a simple lady's earring now? Don't tell me 20 stars. I say simple. You think I don't know how much I'm wearing in your ear? Let's not open it up. You know what I'm saying. 1,500. Somebody will appreciate it. That's the truth. Are you following what I'm saying now? Somebody will appreciate it. Say amen. A simple necklace. What else? A simple car. Do you understand? Not something very big. Just simple Lexus. Do you know what I'm saying? Or a simple land. Just not very big. Just one plot. Or if you are the plane for the simple PS5 for the brothers. It's not even expensive. Who may hear 900,000 now, 1 million now, you have bought it. So you must find yourself somewhere. That's what I'm saying. If you can't do 1 million, you can't do car, you can do airtime. Yeah, that's the truth. You can do airtime. Give to someone. I'm very serious though. Put it in your budget. Amen. Ladies, learn it too. No, ladies give people. I know they do. They even give more than guys. But I had to mention them for a reason. Give people, even your relationship, your marriage, give to your husband. Don't always think that you are the table. You are on the table. Bring something. Give someone. I'm being very frank. Use this December to be good to someone. And I told you last week, is one way. It's actually a way to thank God. Remember I said that last week? It's actually a way to thank God. When you look at people that God have used to, you know, be a blessing to you, and you give to them, you're actually thanking God. And let me even teach you another kind of giving that, like I'm talking about this morning. Give to people that cannot give anything to you back. That's why this giving this morning now, we say don't put your name, just write the person's name. Give to people without respecting nothing. Then there is reward for that kind of giving. Are you aware? That's reward. God will bless you. Amen. So, but if you didn't come with a gift for someone, just after service, you can buy it. So what can we buy? Give us your budget. We'll tell you what to buy. So I don't know anybody to gift. We have a list of giftees. Potential giftees. People you can give. Amen. You're looking good this morning, everybody. So please say something very warm to someone this morning, even though the weather is hot. Something warmer than the weather. Amen. Have your seat as you're doing that. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Even people online should give to people. They should give to themselves, not you. I mean, the online church, give to yourselves. You say, how do I give people online? Send money. Not like big money. Like $500. All those small cash. Say amen. Amen. Or if you now want to make it bigger. Mm-hmm. But at least 500, 1K dolls, all those small. Do you think like me? If you better do. Because next year will be bigger. Oh. Amen. Amen. Next year will be bigger. Make up your mind that you're not ending next year
the same way you came into, you will come into the year. It will be big. I'll talk about that next week. So I've been teaching you on how to receive a new year, right? Were you here last Sunday? And I taught you how to receive a new year. The thing about it is, every year will be what you make it to be. Every year. The thing is, God has great plans for every year. The plans of God is not, he's not saying I'll have plans for you, not a better one next year. He has better plans every year. He said, I know the thoughts I have, I think towards you, thoughts of good, not of evil. So he has good plans. Now what you make out of every year is now dependent on you. So next year can be your best year yet. But it's on you. Isn't it a coincidence? Are you following me now? The coming year can be your best year. One testimony I've had is that every year is always a better year for me. Every year. Like this year now was better than last year for me. And for us as a church family, this was better than last year. Abby? Next year will be much more better. But it's not coincidental. Let me tell you, if you're not deliberate about your new year, it will just, time will just count. You know the thing is, whether you work hard or not, time will be counting. Next day will come and pass. But there's a way to plan, to prepare and to receive a new year. And last week I showed you one of the ways to do that is, first of all, stay in thanksgiving for the previous year that is coming to the year coming to an end. Stay in thanksgiving. And one of the things the Lord put in my heart this morning as I walked into this place, he said, let's not just thank God for the things that we received newly. We should also thank God for the things we had that was preserved. For instance, don't just thank God that you got a new job. Also thank God when your job is preserved. When you didn't lose your job. You know, it's also a testimony. Don't just thank God because you got a new car. Also thank Him because the car you had was preserved. It served you throughout the year. Because don't even see how big a testimony that is. Because we are so used to thanking God for new things. What of the miracle of preservation? The miracle of preservation. Like now, we are building this place. Very soon will be done. It will be in a perfect shape. All of us will rejoice. But you know, every year we should also learn to thank God for keeping this place. People lose their things. I get what I'm saying now. People lose their... Some of you get a new phone. You're excited. After 3 months or 1 year, thank God for preserving that phone. That it wasn't stolen, it wasn't lost. If you ever lost your phone, you know what it means. Are you following me this morning? Don't just thank God for bringing new things. I just heard that from the Lord as I just came in here this morning. Thank Him for keeping. Don't just thank God. Of course, when you get married, it's exciting. But also thank God for keeping your marriage. Every year, say, Father, you know people break up every year. You say, do you know people break up after 1 month? Yeah. Just 1 month. I've seen, you know, it's a crazy generation, man. Right? The devil attacks homes. 1 month. So, for every... That's why when people say, you guys are celebrating an anniversary too much. Every year. And let me talk to every married couple here. Take your anniversary seriously. You see, when 1 year anniversary, make a big deal out of it. Not many people are married for 1 year. When you go for 5 years, throw a party. Say amen. Amen. If he is, you run up. It's not easy to marry for long. For real. That's one of the men that I follow once in a while, Brother Ketmo. You know Ketmo? Ketmo is a pastor. Every day, every Sunday, they will always call for people who are celebrating their wedding anniversaries. They do it every Sunday. And of course, it's a big church, so there must be one or two places every Sunday. And they get up and they celebrate. They make a big deal out of it. But it's a big deal for God to preserve your marriage. It's not just a miracle. It's not just the miracle. A miracle to receive is a miracle to keep. I get to the point. When you have a new baby, thank God. But after 1 year, thank God for keeping that baby. I feel what I'm saying now. Thank God that you didn't lose the baby. People lose their children. You're not aware? People lose their children. So when people normally say, "What are we thanking God for the year?" You are actually not very wise. Because when people ask those questions, they are just thinking of what they got or did not get within the year. They don't also think of what they brought into the year that the Lord preserved throughout the year. Are you following me now? Your job that you got, they fired people, they've not fired you. Thank God for that. while you are believing God for a new job. So the Lord, thank the Lord that also keeps things. Not just the Lord that brings new things. Also thank Him because He's a keeper. Are you following me, friends? He keeps your life too. He has kept you alive. He keeps your health. You know, it's amazing that if you fall sick and you are at the point of death and you get healed, you will come for a big testimony. But then if you do the whole year without falling sick, you will not do testimony. That's the problem. Because we just celebrate interventions. Are you following what I'm saying now? We've not learned how to preserve the keeper. If you fall sick and you are at the point of death, you go, if you recover, you are here thanking God, you buy cow and what have you. But if you go 6 months, 1 year without falling sick, without visiting the hospital, you just say, Father, thank you. It's not a big deal for you. That's a very bad attitude. And the Lord said that to me, not just to tell you, while I was standing there, I just started, I had to start repenting because we are all guilty of the thing. Like I said, we're all guilty of it. When we're just expecting new things, and we're just excited for the new things. But we're not excited for the things that stay. Are you following me, friends? The things that stay. The things that stay. Our health that God has kept safe. If you get on the road, it will not happen to you. If you get on the road and you are almost kidnapped, or you are kidnapped and God delivered you, you will throw a party. Because God delivered you. And that's a good thing, actually. But then if you travel for 1 year, you never got kidnapped once, you will not throw a party. Are you know what I'm saying now? Because you think, you're only thinking about interventions. You are not thinking about the fact that God is also a keeper. And we should thank Him for keeping. Do you want to do that this morning? Let's lift our hands and just thank God for keeping us. Keeping your, if there's anything in your life that God has preserved, thank Him. Say it from your, you stand, you can sit, whichever one, just say it from your heart. Thank you, Lord, for keeping my marriage. Thank you, Lord, for keeping my job. Pray that prayer from your heart. Lift your hands and just thank Him this morning. For keeping the things that belong to you, the things that He has brought your way, for keeping your joy, for keeping your marriage, for keeping your job. Come on, thank Him. For keeping your children, for keeping your parents alive, your friends, for keeping your relationship. Thank Him for preserving your job, for keeping your health. Just thank Him. Just thank Him from your heart this morning. Do that with 1 minute this morning. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for keeping us safe. For keeping us safe. For keeping us safe. You are the keeper. The keeper of our things. The keeper. Mandila Koranda. Jepaka ketus kupa pakendia karataga. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Have you know that's one of the things that the psalmist talked about? He said, the lines have fallen out to me, please and please, I have a good relationship. Before that, he said, the Lord maintaineth my lot. It's a big testimony that God maintains your lot. That God doesn't let the things that come to you slip away. If you keep losing the things you have, even if you keep getting new things, you'll never be rich and never be big. Because it takes both preservation and getting of new things to become a rich person. So if you keep losing the job you get, even if some of you have clients that have patronized your business consistently for 1 year, they've not broken. You know, if you don't retain clients, even if you get new clients, you can never be big. Are you what I'm saying now? You should also thank God for those clients that have stayed for 1 year. And that's one thing big businesses do. Notice if you patronize a very serious business this year, by the end of the year, they're sending you gifts, they're sending you texts. Because we should not just celebrate the people that, the things that are coming newly. We must celebrate the things that stay when they come. Are you following me, friends? So thank God for things. Thank God for jobs. Thank God for things that come. But then thank God for things that come and they stay. Thank God. And you know, one of the things that happens is, if your things come and they stay, now every miracle God now works in your life will be an addition and not a replacement. I feel what I'm saying now. Everything God now brings will be an addition. So if God brings an extra contract, it will be an addition to the contract that has been there. Are you following what I'm saying now? If God brings an extra job, it will be an addition. So let us also remember the God that keeps our things. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The Lord that maintains my lot. That maintains my lot. That maintains my lot. And, you know, maintaining lots sometimes talks about, one of the ways to talk about, to explain it, is like when you have a land, right? If you have lands and you keep losing your lands, even if you get new lands, you are still in, you are still losing. So thank God for maintaining what belongs to you. And I want to say this morning, if you think deeply, there is something that God, that you have this year, that you got this year that God preserved. Or something that you even came into the year with that God preserved. Are you grateful to God for that? Thank you, Lord Jesus. So I spent all of that last week. And I'm going to take it a step further today. One major way to receive a new year is what I call preemptive prayers. Preemptive prayers. Now I'm going to spell it for you. Can you spell it? Can you spell it? Preemptive prayers. P-R-E. Then there should be a hyphen. Then E-M-P-T-I-V-E. Preemptive prayers. What that simply means is learning to pray ahead. To pray ahead. And it's one of the major things to do when a year is coming. And I've taught you that every year. To pray ahead of the year. Many of us have not learned the secret of preemptive prayers. What we know is actually the secret of reactionary prayers. And there's nothing wrong with that. Reactionary prayers are prayers you pray. You just notice, oh, my health is bad. In the name of Jesus, my health is repaired. That's you are reacting in prayer. Now, it's not bad actually. Because God answers everyone. But to be safer, you must learn to pray preemptively. To pray ahead of time. To pray before things come. So as the next year is coming, it's true that at the end of the year, there's a lot of celebration, but don't forget, it's also a time to pray for the next year. To pray for the next year. Jesus is the major person that taught us how to pray preemptively. Right? For instance, in John chapter 17, he prayed for not just, now hear this, he prayed for the disciples, but not just the disciples. He prayed even for the people that they will preach to, that will believe. In other words, Jesus prayed for you. Let me show you. John 17, are you there? Open John 17, are you there? Thank you, Lord Jesus. The whole of John 17 is Jesus praying for the disciples. If you have time, go home and study it. He prayed different prayers for them. He prayed that they be kept safe. He prayed that they stay in unity. He prayed all those prayers. Then he got to verse 20. He said, neither pray I for this alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. So he prayed and even prayed for people that they will preach to. Now that's praying preemptively. He didn't say, well, when they come. See, just like we praying for souls here. We are praying for our members here. And we also pray for people that will join us next year, October. That's praying ahead of time. I feel what I'm saying now. That's the, one of the major secrets to winning in life. Praying preemptively. I've taught you that many times. Many people don't ever begin to pray for their marriage until they now want to get married. They now begin to pray, Lord, I receive. That's reactionary prayer. Now, like I said, God will answer all of them. But to be on the safer side, pray preemptively. What it means is that even if marriage is not in your plan today, you should have started praying for your marriage today. Pray for the kind of man, the kind of woman you will marry, the kind of children you will have, the kind of home you will have. Sorry. Pray preemptively. So Jesus prayed for the disciples and the people that they win to him. That's preemptive prayer. In Luke 22 verse 31, he told Peter, he said, Simon, the devil has planned to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. In other words, Simon, Satan is planning to tempt you, but I've already prayed. That's preemptive prayer. So he prayed for Simon ahead of time. So when the temptation came, he didn't take Simon out. Are you following me now? Many of us don't ever pray about things until we are sitting right in front of them. We'll not remember that we are prayer warriors. You know, the problem with such prayers is, like I say, God answers all of them. But the problem with that is that you're already praying under pressure. Under pressure. So you're just trying to, that's where you know that you have some tongues you've not used. Shanda, because you're under pressure. I feel what I'm talking about now. Jesus said, I said, Simon, Luke 22, let's read that. Luke 22, verse 31. Luke 22, verse 31. He says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan have desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Verse 32 said, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. So Jesus prayed for a temptation that Peter has not faced. So you know what that tells you? You can begin to pray, for instance, concerning your purity in the coming year. That next year I walk in purity. I will say, it's not when you are standing before a temptation. You now say, in Jesus' name I receive. You pray ahead. And I've practiced this. I tell all the people every time I run marriage classes for people, I always give this instruction to them. From day one when you marry, stop. In fact, when you guys are still saying, I love you, I miss you, once you guys already attain, start praying for your family. Start praying for the children you will have. Start praying for how many kids you will have. How many boys, how many girls, the order you want them. Don't wait until the doctor say you can no longer have children. You now begin to pray. Are you following the point? When you learn to pray ahead of things and ahead of the year, you know, you fix things before they even start. That's why when people pray like that, it looks like, you know, sometimes you look at people and be like, do they not ever have problem? Because sometimes before the problem comes, they fixed it. Before they even know it has come. So the year is coming. That's why I just led you to pray. But apart from leading you every day, as you go home today, as you end the year, as you begin the year, pray into January, pray into February, pray into March, pray into October, pray into December. Are you following me? Like, we started praying prayers of safety. Prayers of safety. That prayer, because the thing about prayer, prayer travels to the future. Prayer can go to the future and stay. And wait. Prayers are never wasted. There are no wasted prayers. So Jesus prayed preemptively, prayed for Peter preemptively. In fact, Jesus later taught Peter or expected Peter to pray preemptively. He expected him. Right? In Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. Jesus told him, watch and pray that you do not fall into temptation. So imagine telling Peter. Peter would be wondering which temptation is coming again. I'm fine. Just say, I know for now you are fine. But pray ahead that you will not fall into temptation. Of course, he didn't do that. You know the thing? Why it's good to pray some prayers ahead is because sometimes when life situations come at you, they don't give you time to pray. Are you following what I'm talking about? You don't have enough time to pray. You know, for instance, we're praying. What prayer we're going to pray? We'll still pray next Sunday. It's prayer of direction. Lord, my steps are guided. You know, it's good to follow the leading of the Spirit. But you know, sometimes, now hear this very well. You know, sometimes when you have to make a decision, all you have may be 2 minutes to make a life-changing decision or not. There's an offer coming. Not every offer will give you 2 weeks to go and wait upon the Lord and come back. He's not following me this morning at all. Not every offer. Some offers will take your time. Some, they just want you to decide now or not. That's why before that day comes, you're already praying prayers of direction. My steps are guided by the Lord. I make right choice. Are you following me, friends? I have sharpened sensitivity to the Spirit. I have heightened spiritual sensitivity. I make righteous. I will not miss it. The Bible said he orders the footsteps of the righteous. My footsteps are ordered by the Lord. He guides me in the path that I must follow. Now, when we begin to pray this prayer, don't say, beg, pray another one. We are praying ahead. Because sometimes when it has to do with a decision, we may not have all the time to go and pray and come back. So that you are looking for a space for your business, looking for a shop, maybe you want to rent or lease somewhere. Sometimes when you get to the place, there are 5 people looking for the same property. You might not have all the time to go and wait and come back. Sometimes you have to decide there and there whether it is God's will or not. Are you following me? Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes you have to decide there and then whether it's God's will or not. And I say, I'm coming, let me pray, let me pray, let me pray, I'm coming. Now, it's good to do that if you're not sure. In fact, that's the right thing to do if you're not sure. But you know, you can get to a point where you've prayed ahead of time. That when you get there, one of the things about praying ahead of time, like the Lord spoke to us a few minutes ago, is that you walk into prepared places. Prepared places. places that God has prepared for before you came, and he prepared them by your prayer. Have you ever walked into a miracle that you cannot remember praying for? Like, you can't remember what you prayed about. You cannot even pray about this one, but the thing is that you did. In all those prayer times that we had, 1 hour prayer time, just be praying, 2 hours prayer time, you are praying and you are settling things. So, those things are now prepared for you. And you just find out that you just walk into them. Say, how did I get here? NDA, praying. Praying. And one of the things, you know, that does to you, you know, when you learn to pray like that, if I get to that self, let me, God said I should stay here a little. Don't always make prayer a reaction. I just said the Lord said I should repeat that. Pray preemptively over your marriage, over your future. Some of my friends that are in final year, I always teach this. When I finished school, the day I finished school, I was not confused 1 minute on what to do. No matter if you finish school and begin to wonder, so what is next for me now? So what's next? I don't know. We're still waiting for NYSC. When it comes, I'll see where they post me. I'll not know what is next. You know, the problem with that is you think you have time. You know, you don't have a lot of time in this world. I'm not saying you will die young, but I'm saying the prime of your life, you don't have all the time. That's why you pray. When I finished school, I already knew. From day one, as I was finished school, I knew what to do. There was no time I carried my bag and I came back home and said, I'm done with school. I don't know what is next to. They say, N1K, baga one. I say, no, N1K. There was no time like that. Because the thing about it is, I tell my young people this, if you finish school and you don't know what you have to do, what you want to do with your life yet, if I'm your parent, I will decide for you. And that's how good parents do. Then ask the Oyan, come and stay with you. Go and stay with your uncle in Kwara State. You now begin to argue, I don't want to go. What do you mean you don't want to go? So what do you want to do with your life? So if you want to go, that's why before school is over, from third year, you're already praying ahead. That's how to do it. Lord, what is next for me? Before any season of your life comes to an end, begin to pray into the next season. It's not following me at all. It's called preemptive prayers. Begin to pray to the next season. You're already writing WAEC. What will happen after then? What school am I going to work on? Begin to pray ahead of time. You are doing your NYSC. You are rounding up your NYSC. What is next after that? You want to finish and come. You say, let me finish first. And come back and relax my head. Can we talk with the NMM? That's the problem. And you think the problem, you think you have time. I'm just teaching you something though. You see, now you are having kids. My wife will tell you, when we pray over our baby, you think the only thing I pray for my baby is you will grow well. No. I'm really talking about his ministry in the future. Yes. I'm talking about when you enter school, when you get into school, how you will be the first in the class. Preemptively. You know, Pastor Christopher Kilome told us, his grandfather, you know his grandfather? Pastor Chris's grandfather is Reverend Ayua Kilome. Was one of the major people that brought the Assemblies of God Church to Nigeria. So that's a very rich heritage. Amen. But he said that man, when he was young, when they gave birth to him, say every time they told him when he was young, he would carry the Pastor Chris and be whispering to his ear, lay hands on him every time, you will preach the gospel around the world. He did it every time. People that met him said. And you can already see what is happening. Now, it may look like he was wasting his time, but he's speaking. I get the point. It's in the future. Don't wait until your child begins to misbehave and becomes a stubborn and a troublesome child. You will now begin to pray, this child will not kill me. I did not kill my mother. You will not kill me. I don't want to do that. I feel what I'm saying now. You take it ahead of time. You're married now. Even if you don't want to have kids now, begin to pray over those kids before they come. Pray over them in the order you want them, the kind of life they will have, how they will stay strong, how God will preserve them, how they will be the best. Things are not coincidental as you think. People prepare things. Always to prepare things is to prepare them in prayer. So some of you are at the point where you are changing levels. Don't wait till that time. Begin to pray. What is next? So as the next year is coming, don't wait till March before you begin to pray about March. Begin to pray now. That's why end of the year we need you to pray. That's why beginning of the year we always say, let's fast. Let's fast. One of the people that the Lord pointed me to this year, one of the men of God, and I paid attention to his ministry, and I found out this January fast, they don't do it. Yes. They do December fast. Their fasting starts like 1st of December. And they pray. And that's very wise. You know what I'm saying? They pray throughout December. So that before the year comes, you're already set. So we do that too, but then we also pray in January. So from second, I will ask you, let's start fasting. If you like, don't fast. You will just enter the year reacting to everything. Reacting to everything. You can take the year before it comes. And if you're a football fan, you get what I'm saying now. Don't always be a defensive player, a defensive, coach. Every time you just want to pack the box all the time. Sometimes go and attack. That's actually how to do life. And if you play chess, you know what I'm saying. How do you play chess? Do you know chess? If you play chess, you know what I'm saying. If your opponent pushes you to just keep defending, you have lost the battle. Are you aware? Yes. So sometimes in chess, what people normally do, they come after you immediately. They try to break into your space early. And once they break into your space, you are now trying to fight to protect your king, protect your queen, and all of that. And they keep making their moves. Now that's how some of us do life. We get into the year waiting for the devil to attack first. And when I start saying, everybody, where they do me, every man, where they do me, that's the problem. So you end all your life, you are fighting battles, trying to fight, trying to defend. What about you be the attacker? The one going for the devil's head. Are you know what I'm talking about? The one going after him before he even comes after you. The one, so that by the time he wants to touch your health, you have secured your health in prayer already. Are you following what I'm saying now? He comes to your finance, you've secured it in prayer already. Listen to me. Make sure that every area of your life, when the devil comes there, let him meet prayers and words that are already standing there. Oh, come on. Make sure that there are prayers and words that already standing before you get to your marriage. Make sure there are prayers that have gone ahead and words that have gone ahead. That when the devil is coming, he's meeting an already prayed prayer. Oh, are you following me this one at all? Already spoken words. Waiting for him. Are you following me now? Yeah. That when he gets there, he will just hear things like, words have been spoken. Spiritual laws have gone into motion, which at this time cannot be reversed. And then he turns back. Let the devil meet words that have been spoken before he gets to your life. Let the devil come into February and meet words. Because look at the point here. The devil himself doesn't plan like that. He just responds to things. So make sure that when he's coming to meet you, he wants to attack your health. You've already sorted it out. So he's coming against a well-built attack. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Always learn to resist the devil. Don't wait for him to come to your doorstep. So pray preemptively over your future. Young people, pray for your future. Pray a lot over make a lot of prayer investment into your future. A lot of prayer investment into your future. I should tell people, I've said it many times here, talking about childbearing and marriage and all of that. I told them, I said, all my kids are going to be miracle children. They said, why? I said, they'll be products of prayer. You know, people we call miracle children are people where the doctor have said, it's not possible. You now pray, it became possible. What if the doctor said, but you better your own in prayer? We get the point. I prayed, and the Lord told me it was time for our baby to come. The Lord told me, we were already pregnant. The Lord told me the name of the baby. The Lord showed everything. The Lord told me the gender. We did not need science to check anything. We just needed science to confirm it. Everything. Because we are praying ahead of time. When we got into courtship, we are praying together over the phone every Monday and every Friday. Some people are doing courtship. You don't pray together. All you are doing is, I love you. I miss you. When are you coming to my house? To do what? To do what? To pray. Now, when am I seeing you now? What are you wearing? It's no small parachute. I get the point. That's what you do in courtship. At least two or three times in a week, you guys are praying together. Sorting out issues. So if you want to get married in this place, you want to enter courtship, you say pray for 3 months, you say it's too much. You do know what you're getting into. Learn preemptive prayers. Don't carry first aid box into your marriage. You get there and start repairing. You say, oh, let's see what you can do. What if you settle before it comes? People don't, let me even tell you the power of preemptive prayer. There are many of you who are very prayerful parents. Some of the things you are enjoying today with this, your careless life, is just because you have parents that have prayed ahead of time for you. Some of you know what I'm saying. Because you yourself know that you are very unserious. But that is a mother that has been praying, Father, when my child gets to marriage, he will not miss it. He will not, and all of that. And that's why if every time you wanted to enter that stupid relationship, God delivers you. So some of you, the reason you're having many breakups in your life is because of your mother's prayer. That's why there are many heartbreaks. Because according to the time you would have said yes to that marriage, your mother's prayer will rise again. And then the girl say, I'm no more doing. Start crying, start rejoicing. But for real, pray preemptively. Something I've learned. Pray preemptively. Ahead of time. Are you getting the point now? Before we ever knew that God was going to ask us to build this place, 2 years ago, we started the confession, we are getting our buildings. Do you remember that? We are getting our lands. A very long time ago. Before we ever knew God would ask us to build this place. So when it was time, words have already gone ahead. Now we kept praying in the process, but we already prayed ahead. Are you following what I'm saying now? So pray preemptively over your plan. And let me say this before I continue. This is not prayers you pray in response to fear. Please. Not because you are afraid. But who knows as next year will be. Let me just pray. You know, there's a man that prayed that like in the Bible, but he prayed in response to fear. His name was Job. Job, Bible said, every morning he will pray and offer sacrifices for his children, but he did it in response to fear. Job chapter 1 and verse 4. Let's listen to Job himself talk. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you in the book of Job? Now, I'm not rushing now. I want to wait for you to get the book of Job. Have you found Job in your Bible? Do you even know where Job is in your Bible? New or Old Testament? New or Old Testament? After which book and before which book? Before Galatians. How about you know that song? That Bible. Esther, Job, Psalm, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentation, Ezekiel. Do you know it? Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. But if you miss children's church, you missed a lot. It's still affecting you till now. Because you're not preemptive, you're learning. So Job chapter 1 and verse 4. Amen. Glory to God. He said, and his sons went and feasted in their houses, everyone his day, and sent and called for their three sisters to eat and drink with them. Verse 5 said, and it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. As Job, for Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and curse God in their hearts. Bible says this Job did continue. So you notice that he was responding to fear. Who knows if my children have sinned though? Let me just pray ahead of that. That's not what I'm talking about. And if you get to Job chapter 3, Job later confessed that it was out of fear. When he fell sick, he himself used the mouth to say, what I feared the most has come upon me. So he was actually praying for his children, afraid. So when the devil wanted to come against him, he went straight against the children and killed all of them. Because he was just praying those prayers in response to fear. Are you what I'm saying now? Now, I'm not saying you should be afraid. Let me teach you something. God is our protector. Are you aware of that? God preserves us. Let me even tell you, before you start praying, God already has a commitment to preserve your life. Are you aware of that? Yeah, because you are his child. You are his child. Prayer is just a way you cooperate with what God has already decided to do. What I'm saying is, it is not prayer that will make God decide to preserve you. God has chosen to preserve you even before you started praying. Prayer is just a way you agree with and cooperate with what God has already decided that he's going to do. So don't be afraid. Don't think that it's your prayer that will make God decide to protect you. No, he has always been there for you. So I'm not saying you should pray for next year because we are afraid. Because next year is going to be gengen, so be afraid. No, that's what I'm saying. Just pray ahead of time. Don't respond to fear. Are you feeling what I'm saying now? Don't respond to fear. And that's even another reason why you should pray preemptively. Because when you pray preemptively, nothing is happening yet, so you are just praying. It's easier to pray without fear when nothing is happening. It is tougher to pray when something is already happening, because I'm now praying with fear, with worry, with pressure, and all of that. So learn the power of preemptive prayers. Pray about next year. Pray about your job. So when I say pray about your marriage, don't say I'm going to start praying about marriage so that, let them not break my head in marriage because my mother married wrongly, my father married. Mm-mm. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. But just pray ahead of time. Not because you're afraid. Not because you're worried. Not because you're troubled. But just because you want to pray and sort things out before they come. Now that's the wisdom of God. Jesus prayed for the disciples in John 17. Not because he was afraid that they would collapse. But he would just pray that they will start strong. You know, before Jesus went to the cross, he prayed. The Bible said he prayed so much that angels came to strengthen him. So when he was now going to the cross, with everything happening, he didn't break down because he already prayed over that process. Imagine he didn't pray about that. It was right on the way that he began to pray and say, Father, please help me, and I die, I do. You can't do that. So it's good to take it before it comes. Are you following me this morning at all? Take it before it comes. That when you are going to the cross, you're not afraid because you've handled it. Strength is already ministered. Shout amen, somebody. A few things that will happen when you begin to pray preemptively. One is that preemptive prayer will align you to God's will and cause you to walk in the will of God. You know the thing about this? The Bible said he orders the footsteps of the righteous. So when you learn to pray preemptively, one of the things you notice is that your steps are aligned. If you pray, for instance, over a job, maybe you're praying for next year. Next year, around June, I'll start applying for a job. I'll be done with school by then. So I'm praying in the name of Jesus. What you find out is when you pray preemptively like that, one day you will just, in quotes, coincidentally stumble on a post on Facebook. Coincidentally stumble on an advert. Are you getting what I'm saying? What is happening is that your prayer you're praying is ordering your steps to make sure you get to where you must be. So the man that prays a lot and prays preemptively walks into divine coincidences. Can you follow me this morning at all? He suddenly coincides with things. So the Lord orders your footsteps when you pray. You just find out that your path will be aligned with God's will. And I've enjoyed this a lot. So learn to pray preemptively. So your path will, you will be aligned, right, to walk in the path that God has set for you. We just prayed 3 minutes ago that we will not miss our prepared places. It is prayer that carries you to your prepared places. Yeah. So when you've prayed, let me give an example. You're praying concerning your marriage. Father, I'll marry a good woman. And then, one of the things prayer begins to do, that prayer begins to orchestrate events and arrange events to make sure you miss some people and that you meet some people. That prayer will kind of make sure you get into this bus at this time. You stand at this bus stop at this time. Because listen to this. Look, hear what I'm going to. It's not every time that you'll be hearing the Lord say, stop, enter that bus now. You know, we have to be realistic. Does that happen to you all the time? Do you every time hear the Lord say, stop, turn? Start going back. Stand now. Look up. Now, that can happen a few times. It should happen a lot, actually. But not every time. That's not the only way God leads us. Sometimes God leads us by, we just, let me use the word loosely, casually walking into what he has prepared. But it's not casual. Because prayer now makes that the casual choices you make now becomes what God has planned for you. Is someone following me this morning at all? Those things, I just decided, I just said, let me just go and see that guy. It's not when everything plays out, you now find out, it's not just me that decided to go and see that guy. Something happened. So prayer ensures that even the casual choices you make gets aligned to God's ordained plan. So by prayer, God orders your footsteps. Are you following me now? Thank you, Lord Jesus. That's why you pray, for instance, before you go to win souls. Of course, there are times you go to win souls, and while you're stepping out, God says, preach to that guy. Preach to that sister. That can happen. But there are sometimes you will not hear it like that. You just meet somebody and start preaching to the person. It's just what you have done that you now find that, wow, God really led me here. Has it ever happened to you? That you just say, God really led me here. Now, not like you heard him say move. Not like you even heard anything you had, but you just find out that the way everything has played out, God really led me here. It is preemptive prayer that orders your footstep, that you coincidentally walk into miracles. Coincidentally walk into prepared places. The coming year, you walk into your prepared places. But it's in prayer. Are you following me now? Are you following me? One of the things we did when we were looking for, when we were trying to buy a land, I did not hear the Lord say to me, you are going to get a land around old UNTH. When you get there, you will see. I didn't hear that. But we had prayed a lot. And I just told people searching for the land, just keep searching. You know what I believed was, and it happened, that as they keep searching and we keep moving around, the Lord will carry our step to where it should be. And it's not a coincidence thing. It's in prayer that I sort it out. Praying ahead. Because I say it again, it's not every time that you hear God say, my son, that is the business to invest in. No. Sometimes you can just be walking, and as you are discussing and doing this, you just find out that, whoa, we have something big right here. Prayer brings you to prepared places. Preemptive prayers. And let me add one more thing. When you pray ahead of time like that, you receive strength to handle issues that have not come. Perfect example is Jesus. Bible said when he prayed in that Gethsemane, Bible said an angel came and strengthened him. So as he was going to the cross, he didn't get weak. So if you want to enjoy strength for next year, pray ahead of next year. Because the devil will come at you, but come on, you can be strong in the midst of the mess. But it's prayer that makes it possible. And not always the prayer you pray when it's already getting very bad. Sometimes it's the prayer you pray when everything is fine. That's why if you only pray when you are in trouble, you are really in trouble. Shall I say that again? If the only time you pray is when you are in trouble, then you are really, really, really in trouble. You should pray when everything is fine. In fact, when everything is fine is the best time to pray. Because you are in the best frame of mind to actually pray. Are you following me this morning at all? Because when you're already in trouble, you're already praying, Father, Jesus said, but when everything is fine, when your job, you are eating well, you are full, you are happy, that's when to pray. Covering the future before it comes. Are you following me this morning now? Covering before it comes. So that when the trouble is coming, there's already strength waiting for you. So we say, I will always be strong. Do you want to shout? I will always be strong. I will always be strong. I will never get tired. How did Isaiah put it? He said, they that wait upon the Lord shall mount up always like the, they shall renew their strength. So you want to be strong. It's not when trouble. It didn't say they that pray when they're in a mess. It is they that wait. The people that pray ahead. I get what I'm saying now. Before the issue comes, you're already waiting upon the Lord. So when the time comes, you just find out that you are strong. People are wondering, why are you just this strong? You don't get tired. Even you can't even trace where it's coming from, but hey, it's your prayer that worked out something. Pray ahead. You want to be strong? Pray ahead. You want to carry the cross like Jesus and take every step without breaking. Pray ahead of the cross. Before the cross comes, pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The second thing this kind of praying and prayer does for you is that it grants you insight into the future. What I mean by that, it shows you what is to come. Yes, it shows you. One of the easiest ways to know what will happen is to pray preemptively. For instance, if you begin to pray for 2026, seriously, you will begin to see if God will show you things that will happen. You will be so shocked. In fact, it's sometimes when it has happened, I find out that God really showed me this thing. That's the secret of flowing revelation gift I just shared with you. You know, Jeremiah 33 verse 3. Let me show you. Jeremiah 33 verse 3. Are you getting blessed? Can we shout a loud amen?
Amen.
Give me three hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You didn't even shout that. You just said it. Let's try it again. Three hallelujah now. Amen. He said, call unto me and I will answer thee, and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. It's a promise of God. When you pray over the future, you will know things. Now, you don't need to pray and say, Father, show me what will happen in 2020. You don't need to do that. When you just pray into the future, you know things. You will know many things. You will know many things. You will know many things. You will even know the problems that the enemy has planned ahead for you. How do I know what will happen next year? How do I know what the word for the year is? You know, I'm not giving us the word for next year. I've said a few things about next year, but I'm not giving us the exact word. But how do I get to know those things? It's very simple. I don't go to the Lord saying, Lord, what is the word for next year? I don't do that. But I just start praying for the year. In praying for the year, you open up your eyes to revelations. Are you following me, friends? And that's how I pray. How do you know what happened in your marriage? Pray ahead of time for your marriage. You will know things. You will know things. Some of that I ask, you want to get married, I say you must pray for 3 months. You start fighting me. You better pray for 3 months. Well, everyone that has prayed for 3 months will tell you, when you begin to pray and take it seriously, before the end of that 3 months, you started knowing things that will even affect the marriage. In fact, God is pointing you to things you never thought you would ever see. And before issues come, you fix them. But then they say you should pray for 3 months. Hey, 3 months, 3 whole months. I'm in love. What if I finish praying for the 3 months, the girl now to another person? They wouldn't have chosen you all the same. They were not planning to choose you. He says, sir, if I tell a man that I want to pray for 3 months, he will say it's too much. Okay. Amen. Is 3 months too much to pray? Somebody said, you need 3 months to hear God. That's not what we're saying. We hear God instantly. We need time to build our own convictions. Are you following me? Because it is conviction that keeps you in marriage, not because the Lord said. Are you following me, friends? The Lord can say, and you still run away from the marriage. Are you following me? It's conviction. You know, people don't stay in marriage because they're in love. They stay in marriage because they're convinced they should be there. Because love that keeps marriage is a decision. So you have to pray for long. And take it seriously. You will now begin to see things that will come. You will now begin to see jobs that will come. You are praying for your future. Lord will show you things. Let me say this to you. Don't enter the coming year blindly. Don't enter blindly. Pray. Don't enter by whatever we see we take. Pray. You will know what will happen. You will know both what the devil has planned and what God has planned. Are you following me, friends? You will know all of them. He said, come to me, I will show you things. Oh, the commitment of God is that he shows us things. I know things by the Spirit too. It will shock you to know what I know by the Spirit. Once you pray over things, now don't even say, I've told you, don't start praying and say, Father, show me. I don't pray that prayer. Do you know there are people here, mom can testify to this, that I know things about. I even know things about their future. There are some of you I know. Some of you I know you are going to travel abroad. You don't know, but I already know. I even know where I'm going to. And I will not tell you, don't worry. He says, I just tell us, run out for us. You know me now. I already know for some of you. Amen. I even know who you marry. Now, not all of you. Yeah, actually, before my sister got married, I knew the first day that the husband came to my house. Now, he came to see me, not my sister. They didn't know. Then I said, go and bring food. Because my sister was staying with me. I said, come and serve him drink. Then he came out. I saw that in the spirit clearly. Yeah, they were in shock. They know now. Now, he said it also came to his mind that day. But he said, no. But I didn't tell my sister. I didn't do any of that. I just let it play out. As a matter of fact, they left that. They didn't talk. They didn't exchange contact. They spoke again after my sister has gone to service and come back. So I kept this in my heart for over 1 year plus. Now, let me tell how I come about that. It's not because I go to, I tell God, Father, show me about this person. If you pray for people, you will know things about them. Simple secret. If you pray over any matter, you will know things about that matter. If you pray for Nigeria, you know things about Nigeria. If you pray for the church, you will know things about the church. Have you ever prayed for your church to a point and the Lord began to show you that there is a battle coming against your church in the next few months? Some of you have never had that kind of thing because you've never prayed for your church. I'm telling you. So you want to know things about next year. Very simple thing. Just pray for next year. Pray. Take your time and pray. Pray over your business. Pray over your job. Pray over this. You will see what God will show you. So he said, when you pray, call on me, I will show you things. I will show you things. And another thing that happens when you pray, of course, is that you receive wisdom. Receive wisdom for the future. Wisdom to handle the year. I won't say much about that. You know, when Esther was another person that prayed preemptively. When she wanted to go and see the king, she prayed. She didn't know what would happen in there, but she just prayed. You know, God gave her such mighty wisdom. And when she got in there, she said, I want to eat with the king and with Haman. Haman was the person that wanted to destroy the Jews. By the wisdom of God, she just found a way to say, come and have dinner with me. The next day, he said, I want to have dinner again. She did that a few times, and then God gave her wisdom, and she won the case. If you want to do life next year by wisdom, just pray ahead of the year. The Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that give it to woman liberally. Again, I go back to what I said earlier. You will not always have time to go and wait upon the Lord for 2 weeks for wisdom over a matter when you are standing before a problem. Sometimes when there is a demand on the wisdom of God upon your life, you don't have 5 minutes. You have instant decision to make. That's the truth. So when you pray out of time, you receive wisdom before it comes. Because somebody said, the Lord said, when we pray, we receive wisdom. So, what if your wisdom is needed now and you don't have time to pray? I get what I'm saying now. Let me give you an example. Imagine you are Solomon. You are Solomon, and those two women have come with their babies, a dead child, a child that is alive. You know that story, Abby? One person said, that's my child. The other person said, that's my. How? There was no DNA. How would you have come about that kind of answer? Amen. Will you say, okay, put both of them in prison? Let's beat them. If you beat them, well, they will say the truth. Now, that would be a foolish thing to do. But look at the wisdom the guy just spoke. He said, well. Let's divide the child into two. He wanted to play on the heart and the emotions of a mother. As simple as that. It just came to him. Sometimes when you are faced with such life-changing decisions, you don't have time. You just have to act wisely at the moment. It is prayer that breaks you open into wisdom. And if you pray ahead of time, you are open to the wisdom of God. Number next. If I let me see this one, if I begin to wind down. Praying ahead of time, preventive prayer helps deal with the devil and deal with challenges even before they come. You deal with challenges and problems before they even come. So you do not wait until there is now big wahala. You now become a prayer warrior. That's how many of us pray. So every time I hear your voice in prayer, I can guess there is a problem. And that's the problem. You're actually in trouble. So you say, we have prayer drive. We're coming to pray for 6 hours. You say, why? Wait till they do me. Now that's the problem. You want something to do you before you show up. And something really do you. Something big. And I'm not praying bad prayer. I'm just telling you what will happen. We have come to pray for 6 hours. Why do we come and pray 6 hours every day? It's like this church is in trouble. Why are they praying every day for 6 hours? You are not in any trouble. You are the one in trouble. For not coming to pray. When we are praying, that's why we fix issues before they even come. If I let me shock you, you even fix some issues. If I, some issues can happen, you will not know they happened. You will not know you fixed them. You don't even know at all. If I think it's when we meet Jesus that we know when this has happened. One that was praying many years ago, the Lord opened my eyes and I saw the realm of the spirit. And I saw, that was my first time of seeing demons. I saw demonic forces all gathered around. And there was a lot of warfare going on. And the Lord said to me that day, this is what happens every time the realm of the spirit over your head. You are not just aware. He said, it's when you meet that you know that there are many battles that have been fought. You're not even aware they were fought. Are you following what I'm saying now? Many battles. That's why if you're always waiting for problem to come before you start praying, you may be too late. Take the devil on before he comes. Don't wait for them to tell you your kidney has failed. You're now beginning to say, hey, Jesus, lie in the, what's that thing pastor say we should be saying when they say we are sick? The life of God is working in me. The life of God is working in me. Say, the life of God is working in me. What another thing pastor say we should say? I enjoy divine health. I live long. I live strong. We're nothing wrong. Something's already wrong, oh. You know what happens when you're saying it those times, you don't even believe what they're saying. You just talk. But you know, you can speak ahead of time that when trouble comes, when you are praying again and you are speaking again, what you are now speaking forth is reaffirming what you've always been saying. Are you following what I'm saying now? And not, imagine some of you don't ever speak over your life. You don't ever pray over your life. You just, every time you're speaking against things about yourself, this life, now pot of beans, so this life, matter money, no deal, this life, you say all those rubbish. Now, when there is now trouble, you now begin to pray. The problem is the words you are speaking in prayer are trying to, we first start taking down the negative words you've been speaking over your life before it even gets to your problem. Do you understand what I say now? If I've been constantly saying, everything I've been saying, there's no job. There's no, this country. Yeah. Nobody can, if you don't know anybody, you're not getting job in this country. You see this country, bad as a bad, this course you are studying, bad as a bad, you cannot get job more than 75,000. Forget it's our course. You've been talking. Now, suddenly you now want to pray for a job. You say, well, I need a job of 1 million naira. There are words that are already standing. You have to take down those words in prayer. I get what I'm saying now. I'm telling you, you have to take down those words before you even begin to make another application. Because you are dealing, there are words you've been spoken. You said them. You meant them. Demons are acting on them already. And they are acting legally on them. Why did I say legally? Because you are the ones that said it. Are you following me this morning now? You said it. You said you will get a job of 75,000. You said your biggest job will be 75,000 a job. You said it. It's not God. You said it. You. Not the devil. You. You said it. Who said it? He said, but it's the devil that spoke through me. But you lent him your tongue. So at the end of the day, you made the statement. So when you now come to pray, you are the one now saying this one too. You have a lot of things to deal with. Because you've said something you now have to start saying. So deal with issues before they come. As I begin to close, let me challenge you to do 3 things. One, there are basic areas you must cover in prayer when you pray preemptively. For instance, cover areas like safety. Pray over your safety. Pray over your safety. Like we prayed this morning. Why do you need to pray over safety all the time? Because we know that the devil is always on the loose. 1 Timothy 5 verse 8. He said your adversary the devil walks around all the time. Like a roaring lion looking forward to devour. 1 Timothy 5 verse 8 rather. Verse 8. So you know already that he's going to be moving up and down. So pray over your safety. So as the next year is coming, take time and pray over safety. Don't wait for them to announce that bandits have taken over your village. You now begin to pray. In Jesus' name, oh, I am saved. Secret place of the Most High, I hide. Shadow of the Almighty, I abide. Pray ahead of time. Pray for safety. Pray for safety. Are you following the point now? Not when they say, ah, there is a new sickness. This one is bigger than COVID. COVID travels by air. That one, how does it travel? If you see the person. That one, you just have to see. So please, instead of wearing nose masks, you must all start wearing shades. Shades. Or tie your eye. Because if you just see the person, it will catch you. When that time now comes, you now begin to pray. My health is preserved. We like reactionary prayers, which is not bad. But come on. Pray for safety before the problem comes. Pray for safety. See, like we prayed this morning now. If you go, don't pray because you're afraid. Just pray for safety. How? Because you know the devil is always walking up and down. So there are general areas you must cover in this prayer. Safety is one of them. For instance, your health is also one of them. Pray for souls. Souls that you want to win to the Lord. For instance, as the next year is coming, begin to pray in the name of Jesus. I receive 5,000 souls, 1,000 souls in this environment that will be won to the Lord through me. Begin to pray ahead of time for souls. Don't wait until it's time for evangelism. Pray already. What will happen when you pray for souls a lot? Coincidentally, your paths and their paths will be crossing. People you have to win to the Lord. Because I'm praying ahead of time for them. On 31st December, when we gather here to pray, we're going to pray for souls a lot. We're going to pray for souls that we're going to win to the Lord. We're going to pray for them. Pray and receive them in prayer. That our paths and their paths will cross. And some of you, something I used to do when I was in school. There were these two ladies. They were on fire. Not on fire for God. Like they were the happening girls in school. And they were in first year. And then I used to win a lot of faces to the Lord. And someone challenged me with it. I've told you this before, right? Someone challenged me. Somebody said, Pastor Henry, the way we win all these first years to God, they're bringing them to fellowship. He said, you see these two girls? No go area. So I said, why? What's special about them? He said, you know if you follow them talk. And for real, that and I know if you follow them talk. You know when you see ladies that are sophisticated, you know what I'm talking about. It's not like I have low self-esteem. I'm just saying. So, you know what I did? I started fasting. I fasted for 1 week for those ladies. I didn't meet them. I didn't talk to them. I was just fasting, calling their names. But I said, "What is their name? Tell me their names." I began to call their names in prayer. I prayed and fasted. Now, guess what happened? By the next week, as I was fasting, my then president in fellowship asked me to preach in the fellowship. And I was on the stage preaching. Guess the two ladies that walked in, those two ladies, as I was preaching. And I preached powerfully by the anointing. Guess the two people that came to see me after the service, two of them, say, we want to talk to you about something. Now, coincidentally, as you will say, but it's not coincidence. Some of the time, when you pray for souls like that, God himself, angels can arrange the situation. Are you getting the point? That you are still thinking of how you can go and meet them, they'll come and meet you. I'm telling you. So they came and said, one talks about something. One of them, I can't forget, said, do you? And that's why, in evangelism, you don't actually write people off. Guess what she came to tell me? I've been looking for a way to get closer to God and to be serious with God. I've been trying to go about to send a mentor. When you were preaching up there, I just felt that you could guide me. I said, yes, I can guide you. I get to the point now. That's when you don't write people. The people you think they're not serious are actually very serious. People you think they don't like God are actually yearning for God. Are you aware of what I'm saying? That's the truth. If I saw some of you before you became serious, they thought you would never be serious. Some of you know what I'm saying now. Some of you are so bad, they thought you would never be serious. But see you now. You are listening to God's word under the sun. Are you not serious now? Thank you, Lord Jesus. And so you pray for souls. So pray for souls ahead of time. I'll talk about this next Sunday, but let me just mention it. have a soul target for 2026 and begin to pray for them. Lord, I want that through my hands, I'll bring 50 people into your kingdom next year. I want to bring 1,000 people. Just at your capacity, at your faith level. Don't go and say what you will not do. I want to bring 200 people. I want to bring, even if it is 20 people. And you begin to pray for them before you meet them. You know why you pray for souls preemptively? Because you will not, you don't even know when you meet those souls. That you don't even know. But if you already know you meet them on 14th of March or something, then you begin to pray when you approach. You don't even know when you meet them. So you just pray. Because you could meet them just on your way out here now. That's the truth. So take them before they come. So pray for souls. Pray for your ministry. These are areas you must cover in preemptive praying. Pray for your ministry, right? Pray for your plans, yes. Your plans for next year. These are areas you must cover. I'm just telling you, in preemptive prayer, cover every area for next year. Don't make plans. I'll talk about plans. Next Sunday, I'm sitting on this, but I'll talk to you about how to make your plans for the new year. Are you here? Be around. How to make your plans. How to write your vision for the new year. And make sure that everything you write on that list happens. I've practiced it for over 10 years or more. Every year, I clear off my list. Every year. There's a way to make those plans. So while I was preparing, the Lord said, teach them that what I've taught you, teach them. But then pray for your plans. That's one of the ways. Pray for your plans. Don't just sit down and say New Year resolution. Say, from now, no more drinking. You know those people write at the beginning of the year? From now, no more Netflix. Today. If I just finish this series, what's the reigning series now? What's the reigning series now? Huh? There are many. Give me one. Huh? Stranger Things. Strange Things. Terrible Things. They say, if I just finish Stranger Things, I'm watching. No more. You know, you can write, and that's why sometimes, even when you are writing it, you are laughing at yourself. Because remember the one you wrote last year? Some of you, as the years come to an end, you are afraid to look at that, your plan. But one of the ways to make those plans is, the Bible said, when you make your plans, commit them to the Lord. Proverbs 16 tells us that. And verse 3. Commit your plans to the Lord. Nehemiah had a plan to go and rebuild the temple. What did he do? He prayed first. By the time he met the king favored him specially. Esther had a plan. People normally say, I always jokingly say this. People normally talk like Esther. Say, if I perish, I perish. You will perish. You will perish. Because don't realize that before Esther made that statement, she had already fasted for 3 days. She said, I will fast for 3 days. All my maidens will fast with me. He said, let the whole Jews fast for 3 days with me. So after that, she now said, if I perish, she knew she would not perish. Don't make foolish plans, so. Without pretending to the Lord. Because she had a very silly plan that she, how was it going to work? But she prayed. Prayer became the foundation upon which those plans were formed. And they didn't fail. If you make your plans in prayer from prayer and you cover them in prayer, they can't fail. Even if they are ridiculous plans, as ridiculous as buying a land and building a house from nothing, it cannot fail. I get what I'm saying now. So, Proverbs 16 verse 3, commit your ways to the Lord. Let's read that with different translations. I'm rounding up already. Proverbs 16 and verse 3. Have you been blessed? Every time you come to that, I always ask you, do you feel fed? Proverbs 16 and verse 3. The next day will be better. To be a good one for us. He said, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. And else he said, commit your actions to the Lord, and your plans will succeed. So plans can succeed. The Lord can make your plans succeed. And very classic, roll your works upon the Lord. Commit and trust them wholly to him. He will cause your thoughts to become agreeable to his will. And so shall your plans be established and succeed. I'll teach on this next week. And succeed. The Passion Translation says, before you do anything, put your trust totally in God and not in yourself, then every plan you make will succeed. Are you following me, friends? So, what are the plans for next year? You want to travel next year? You want to get married next year? You want to write an exam next year? You want to get a job? Just pray. Pray about them preemptively. Not 2 days to the exam begin to pray. I mean, from now. Are you getting the point? That exam you have in March. That exam you have in June. That IELTS. That TOEFL. Did you write TOEFL? Huh? Pray concerning them. Ahead of time. You want to be able to secure scholarship abroad. Begin to pray now. It's not 2 days to the scholarship. You declare fasting. Of course, there's nothing wrong with doing that. But then, let it be that I've been praying before it comes. Are you following the point? Pray concerning your marriage. You want to get married around, say, my marriage never reached. Around that kind of October, November. Begin to pray now. Begin to pray now. Commit your plans to the Lord. One of the things you're going to do in January with our fast and all of that. All the plans, there are plans we have. We've made plans in this church even up to today. I can tell you what will happen around this church by this time next year. My ministers can tell you. I already showed them plans for Christmas next year. Because our Christmas next year is going to be more beautiful than this. Very beautiful. We're having 3 days of Christmas. 3 days. I should tell you. Yes. Day one will be a general children Christmas party for every child in this environment. Free food, free drinks, Santa Claus, Father Christmas. Yeah, we're going to make it very big for them. Not only our church, but everybody. Then after that, day two. Amen. Day two is going to be a day we go about to share the love of Jesus around. Sharing food, drinks, clothes to everybody around. Bags of rice. Do we share beans? Bags of rice, Gary. It's next year. Then the third day is going to be a worship concert. All night worship concert. Big. Not here in the field. Something very massive. Then there's now day four. Day four is now Sunday service. Where we come here and we share gifts and enjoy. So it's going to be. Now this plan. This next day we're talking about. But we've already written it down in our own notes now. I started talking to the Lord about this a few weeks ago. Because he put the ideas in my head. I get to the point. We're already praying about it. So it's not when we get into December. We'll say, let's start praying. Because actually it's in December that we'll start praying about it in church. But me as the person, the carrier of the vision, should have started covering it already in prayer. So by this next year now, I have plans. But if you check, we had our meeting last week. I just told about December. That is plan for November. That is plan for every month. We already have dates for some meetings. The crusade we're going to do next year, there's already date for it. Are you getting the point now? There is date and venue for the crusade for next year. You plan and put the plans. How do we know they will happen? Because we're going to pray about them. Are you following what I'm saying now? So I'm challenging you now. I just coming to an end. Have your plans. I begin to pray concerning them. Pray them out. Make sure you don't write anything on your notes and it fails. Because if you keep writing things on your notes and they fail, the devil will use those things that fail as a way to fight where you want to write the next one. He will tell you, nobody say you they write. The other one will write, it don't happen. I get what I'm saying now. So when I write on my notes, I stay in prayer to make sure I see them come to pass. So plans. Pray. So first of all, I say cover all these basic areas in prayer. The next thing I'm going to say about praying preemptively, pray in the spirit. Pray in the spirit. Now, apart from covering basic areas in prayer about your health, about your safety and all of that, now take some time to pray in the spirit to get specific prayer direction. Now, there is something about praying for your health, praying for your safety, praying for your career, praying for your finance, praying for all of that. These are specific areas, as in basic areas rather. You must cover them, praying for ministry. But also now, when you are done, have some time you also pray in tongues. That you are praying to now know other things that God will point out to you to pray about. Like when I was coming up stage this morning, I didn't plan that we are going to pray concerning prepared places. But while I was praying, the Lord said I will bring you. So I get what I'm saying now. So apart from praying for the basic areas, your finance, the basic area, your children is the basic areas, your family, your job, your safety, ministry, souls, your plans, those are basic areas. Cover them as much as you can. Then spend time praying for God to point out areas for you. Specific direction. Say, the Lord might say, touch this, touch this, touch this. You might find out as you are praying in tongues, you pray a particular prayer, as you are about to move on from the prayer point, the Lord brings you back there and says, stay more, stay more. That's how it works. And pay attention to those specific areas he will point out to you. Now, don't only pray around those specific areas. Pray generally. That's how to pray the basic, cover every basic thing in prayer. Your health, your finance, your safety. But then again, pray in the spirit. God will point you to speak. You might just find out when I pray, you have 3 children. And you are now praying in tongues. And God is pointing out this particular child. You want to pray about Father, all my children. The Lord said, no, this one. This one. You now stay on that one. I get to the point. Because God already knows. Are you what I'm saying? Yes. I'll be praying over everything. And then you pray and pray and pray. And then you get to a job. You just find out, you say, in the name of just my job shall not be lost in the coming year. You move on. The Lord brings you back to it. He said, come back to that matter. 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 He's pointing out. That's preemptive praying. Now, notice you're already praying that your job will not be lost. Not because they already threatened that work that are sacking people. Are you good what I'm saying now? Just that the Lord is pointing it out to you. After you now pray, around June, they now say they're doing downsizing. You now start laughing. Because you know you're not going anywhere. And then if you dare go, something bigger is waiting. It's not following me this morning at all. So pray in the spirit to pick those specific areas that the Lord will point out to you. Those specific areas. Those specific areas. You know, there is a kind of prayer that we call praying to know what to pray. You pray towards praying. Do you know what I'm saying? You pray towards praying. So why are you praying now? I'm praying so that I will pray. In other words, I'm just praying in the spirit. My first 30 minutes, maybe I'm searching. And then gradually, the Lord begins to show you. You now find out that your heart will wander from this matter to that matter to that matter. And then suddenly, there is a recurring voice in your spirit. A recurring thought. Recurring thought. They're trying to move from it, but it's just recurring. Just a talk. Pray, now stay there. And you cover it in prayer. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So just pray. Just pray. Then also as you pray, if there are words that you've received in prayer, pray with them. Pray with the words God has spoken to you about next. That's the last I'm going to say. If God says it's our year of jumping up, pray concerning that. Pray for the words you've received, with the words you've received. Those things God showed you and you wrote down, pray with them. So apart from praying to know what to pray, take those words God has given you, and you begin to pray about them preemptively before they come. Let me close by saying to you, let prayer come from your heart. Let prayer come from your heart. Recently, there is a debate that came up online about prayer postures. Did you see that? About prayer postures. While people are saying you should pray with this posture or with that posture. Now, I have been teaching on that already, Abi. When I taught you on prayer clinic, I talked to you about prayer postures. Do you remember this? Uh-huh. The key thing, there are postures. I understand what people are saying, what everybody is saying. Yes, there are some postures that are not just, let me not say they're not scriptural. They are just copying. You know, people just feel that when you want to pray, you have to twist your body or do somehow so that they know you're praying. That's not it. The key thing about prayer posture is, you see here, pray from your heart. Pray from your heart. The major posture that God is looking at when you pray is the posture of your heart. So all these prayers I'm talking about, that's why when we pray here, I will say pray. What I've taught you, when we say, bless that guy, prayed fervently. Fervency is of the heart. Of course, it will be seen in action. That's another thing. You can't say I'm praying fervently. You're just praying, Father, thank you. Oh, we give prayer. That's not fervent prayer. So how do I know that? If it is coming from your heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if it's coming from your heart, it will show in your action. So what I'm saying is, when you want to pray, mean it. Don't try to pray like Pastor Henry. Don't try to pray like anybody. just pray from your heart. And don't hold yourself back in prayer. If you are praying and what you feel like doing that time is to be running as you are praying, run as you pray. If you feel like jumping as you are praying, jump as you pray. That's what I like about posture. Because people say, oh, but Elijah twisted himself and put his head between his knees. You now want to do that. Break. Break yourself. Say, I'm going to twist myself and put my head between my knee. So that what will happen? You think that was why Elijah's prayer was answered? That was captured to show you the fervency he prayed with. Jesus did not twist, but Jesus prayed until his sweat turned to blood. That was praying from the heart. Sometimes he will lift himself. Sometimes he will kneel. Sometimes he will lie down. So pray these prayers from your heart. Pray over next day from your heart. And once your heart is in the prayer, God will show you things. And you will win. It's going to be a blessed year. As you travel, visit your friends for Christmas and all of that, don't get carried away with the whole fun of the season. Make sure you have time to pray. And make sure you end the year praying and you come into next year praying. Crossover service is always a big time, big deal here for us. We come here, we are going to be blessed. But listen, one of the major things we do in our crossover service, if you observe every year, we give you good time to pray. Have you observed that? We give you quality time to pray. At least 2 to 3 hours we'll be praying. Not me praying for you, you'll be praying for yourself. And it's because we want you to sort things out. Sort things out. We will cover areas that God will lead us to cover. But apart from that, even before then, still pray. Once you get into the next year, still pray. Use the first 10 days, the first 12 days. That's why immersion next year is coming early. It's coming as at 8. We started our major conference here. It will also be a prayer conference. Are you following what I'm talking about here now? Where we'll pray and sort out the year. So that God would have shown us what will happen. And how it will happen. Because you know why you pray concerning plans? Is that sometimes all the Lord will show you is what will happen. It's when you stay in prayer that you know how it will happen. Are you following me now? I'll give an example. I have a pattern of church planting. I'll just say this. I have a pattern of church planting. That pattern of church planting we do sometimes. If people are gathered in a place and there are 10 people, 20 people who are following our ministry, we can say, let's go there and plant a church. But then next year, the Lord has given us a location that we're going to Abuja next year to go and plant the church. And we don't have any of such garden in Abuja. But it's just a direct church that comes from the Lord. Now, we now have to stay in prayer to find out how. Because it's not just enough to know what God is saying. It's good to know how you will do it. The Lord said, I will take you around the world. Ask him how. Stay in prayer to find out how. Don't go and buy visa. Or flight ticket. Are you following what I'm saying? Because taking you around the world might be that you might start from your village. Or you want to go to Equatorial Guinea first. Or to go to Canada first. But now you've bought plane tickets going to Switzerland. So it's not enough to know what. Also know how. And it's in prayer you know how. We'll have a great year. Stand your feet. I say we're going to have a great year. A victorious year. In the name of Jesus. The plans and agenda of God for your life will see fulfillment in the next year. These of us are just praying the Holy Ghost wherever you are. We are done already. Praying the Holy Ghost on top of your voice all over this place. I feel the Lord says I should give you 5 minutes to pray. Some of you have already made plans for next year. I'll talk about that next Sunday. You've even made your resolutions. I will stop smoking. I will stop drinking. I will stop this and stop that. Begin to pray now. Pray. Lift your voice and just pray. When we learn to pray preemptively, we take the enemy at the gate before he comes. Please pray, 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 pray. I want to hear you. Don't pray in your heart. Pray. Speak up. Pray. Pray from your heart. The Lord has those plans. In prayer, you agree with him over the things he has said. Oh, yes. I wish you are praying. That some of you praying as you should. Some of you are still picking up. Pray. You have 5 minutes to do that. Use it well. Pray. Ooh. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We say, awesome God. Don't stop praying. How great thou art. You are God. Mighty are your miracles. We stand in awe of your holy name. And Lord, we bow and walk. Please pray. Pray from your heart. Whatever God is putting in your spirit this morning, pray it out before we close. Some of you, as I was teaching, the Lord showed you specific areas you should have covered in prayer. We stand in awe of your holy name. Lord, we bow. Now, hear me in Jesus' name. You hear what the Lord said I should say? Practice this teaching intentionally. What I mean by that is, you can plan yourself that from today or from tomorrow, I'll start praying. So today I'm praying for safety and my studies. I could just plan that. I have a pen, have a book, write it like that. Have your notes. Next tomorrow, I'm praying for my career and my finance. The other time, I'm praying for my family, my loved ones. Plan it like that. Be intentional with it. Yes, that's how to pray. That's how to end the year. This one, I'm praying for this and that. I'm just going to pray in tongues for God to show me other things that He will like put a point to me. You carry through the end of this year like that into next year, just like that, like that, like that. Today I'm praying for the church. Next tomorrow I'm praying for souls. Next tomorrow I'm praying for this. Okay, I'm touching. So you touch all those areas. You touch all those areas. So as you're getting into the year. And what you'll find that once you pray about any of those areas, you cannot come out of that prayer closet if God doesn't give you a word for those areas. If only He will talk to you about safety. He will point it to you about safety. Some of you, one of the things you cover your prayer to is also direction. Pray direction-related prayers. That I always know what to do and how to go about things. Pray it. Take time. Take 1 hour. Take 2 hours. Pray. So it's not just fun time. So, it's also prayer time. Are you following me, friends? At the beginning of next year, prayer time. One of the things that the Lord is putting in my heart from this year, from next year, a part of our fast will start in December. Yes, a part of our fast. That's where the Lord put in my heart. We're going to interchange it. A part of it will start in December. And run into the next year. So, I will come into the next year prepared, covering everything I will have to cover. Let me teach you this before I close. Never think that things are going to happen. The devil, any area of your life, you just leave to chance. The devil will step into that area. Don't think, I beg my adjust. Any area of your life you are not praying about, I can only tell you, the devil is having a free day in that area. Any area of your life. I'm telling you. And one of the commitments of God towards you is that from time to time, he will point out to you things to pray about. Does it happen to you? God just tell you, pray about this matter. He will point it out to you. That's one of the ways He shows that He's committed to you. He will point out things to you to pray about. He might talk to you about a job. He might talk to you about somebody. He might talk to you about things. It's one of the ways He shows that, hey bro, I'm committed to you. Because I always show you what to pray about. And every time He shows you, please pray. And pray when He says you should pray. Don't say, okay, I'll pray next. That time. Promises you should pray. The next day is covered. I said the next year is covered. It's covered. It will be smooth. Because by prayer, the Lord will clear obstacles from your path. I say, He will clear obstacles from your path in the name of Jesus. Lift your hands in this place. What should we do? Song? Say, oh, some God. Let's sing it all about this place. On top of your voice, come on. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Sing from your heart all about this place. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Of your holy name.
Lord, we bow. Lord, we bow.
Lord, we bow and worship you.
Before I close, the Lord said I should pray for a set of people. You are here and you are saying to the Lord, one of your desires is that you will not end this year sick. Please raise your hands. I want to pray for you. You're saying, Lord, I don't want to end this year. I mean, there's really a sickness around your life and you've been trying to battle with it. And you're trusting God that this year will not end. You will not end this year sick. Please raise your hand. I want to pray with you. All over this place. Father, in the name of Jesus, as you led me to make this call, I release that healing power. And according to what you are believing for, you shall have. Before the end of this year, this sickness will be history. In the name of Jesus, may the Lord give you mighty interventions, mighty healings. Your eyesight will be corrected for 31st December. Your health will be restored for 31st December. You are coming in perfect shape. You are not stepping into January with this sickness, so you are coming out perfectly whole. And Lord is perfecting all that concerns you, and you will return with your testimony. Even if the doctors have said this is incurable, by the hand of God, I say they have been cured now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for victory. In Jesus' name we pray. Do you believe those words? Can we shout a loud amen this morning? Hallelujah.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer requests, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.